stickers.
Remember back in the day when you would get, you'd go out at night and have just a hell of a good time and, you know, do a lot of drinking. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about drinking. Remember that? Drink a lot of, well, depending on what era you grew up in, either a lot of beer, or a lot of cheap wine, or a lot of whiskey. And just have a hell raising time. I mean, God damn it. You know what I'm talking about? And it was a lot of fun, and you finally passed out. Then you woke up the next morning. That was the hard part. Well, we woke up this morning after the party that the teabaggers threw, and the Republicans threw, and the cowardly Democrats threw, and Obama threw. Now, let's see. What were we told? The threat of default was hamstringing the job market. Nobody can make any decisions until we know. You know, we can't start hiring until we know. What about creating jobs? It's going to be a lot of job, you know. Isn't that what the baggers screamed and Obama screamed? Everybody screaming, we got to get this settled. You know, you were lied to again. Not only are no jobs, and I hate to use that phrase because, I don't know, it just sounds kind of picayune, doesn't it? No jobs. Oh, what does that mean? Not only will there be no jobs, there's going to be fewer of them by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. Oh, and by the way, did you notice the confidence displayed today by the churners and weasels who run the stock market? Huh? What was it? Almost a 300-point drop? How's that for a vote of confidence, huh? Weren't these the people that were demanding that the little puppets they put into Congress, stop all this nonsense, no more spending, blah, 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 blah. We got your vote of approval today, right? Listen, I want to tell you something. We're in for a very, very rough time. We're heading into this recession. I don't know why they call it recession. The effective unemployment rate really is about 16%. What was it during the Depression? I don't even know. Anybody know what it was, what the real unemployment rate was during the Depression? The Depression, back in the 30s. We're heading in that direction. And I don't know what's, you know, what's going to stop it. Once again, for people who still can use just part of their brain, adjusting the debt ceiling does not create jobs. What creates jobs is demand for products. It's people wanting to buy things or build things. That's what makes jobs. Now, there is demand in this country. It's diminishing steadily, but it's filled by the Chinese and the Indians and the, I don't know who else, the Mariana Islanders. Why is that? Oh, don't get into that. Again, tonight, do we have any extra sponsors other than Farm Aid? Farm Aid's been going on now for 25 years. Doesn't that speak volumes? I mean, does a concert attended by a mountain of superstars and put together by Willie Nelson, and it's been going on for 25 years. Do you remember back when this started? I do. Back when farmers were committing suicide because their farms. Remember the auctions? Remember all that? Back in the glory days of the Reagan administration? Do you remember? Come on. I know it's 25 years ago, but some of you are, well, you're not as old as I am, but you're close to it. Do you remember? Do you remember all that? And who came up with an idea? Willie Nelson. Okay, let's have a concert. Let's raise some money that saves some of these people. 25 years ago? Man, seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Matter of fact, it was yesterday, wasn't it? Anyway, They've raised about $40 million over all these years. Which, when you break it down per farm family, per year, it doesn't come out to a lot, does it? But it was damn sure better than nothing, wasn't it? And to raise awareness of what's going on, when you hear Republicans and Democrats from agricultural states talking about farms, we got to save our farms. They're not talking about family farmer. They're talking about the germ factories, the poison factories, the places where the pigs and cattle and chickens are raised in the, oh, don't even go there. Come on. Don't even, stop. Stop! I can't even talk about Farm Aid without getting crazy. I can't talk about anything without getting crazy. But anyway, this year it's August 13th. It's on a Saturday. Farm Aid 2011. Farm Aid 2011. Go to their website, wayoffarmaid.org. Maybe give a donation or just check it out. Hell, you might even want to go. Farmaid.org. Willie Nelson and his family and his friends have been doing this for 25 years, and you got to respect him. And this hour also is sponsored by Marty and John, podcast subscribers. Marty and John write to Mike and Kathy, keep up the good fight against the flying monkey right. Well, see, they've been listeners for a long time if they remember that term, flying monkey right. I used to use that all the time, didn't I? Back when it was still a little bit humorous. Thanks, Marty and John. Thanks for the sponsorship. 15 states today had triple-digit temperatures. Down there in Rick Perry's hell, what have they had in Dallas now? They've had how many? 30-something straight days of triple digits? You know, Texas is in hell. Texas is hell. You understand that? A lot of good people in Texas, a lot of people around Austin. I don't know what y'all are doing there, why. Of course, people say that about me. But where are the jokesters who, when was it, last winter or the winter before? When we had all the snow, which is a sign of global warming, global climate change, and these half-witted morons, these Republicans in Washington, they built snow igloos and little snow forts and put signs in front of about, oh, Al Gore, what do you think about this? You know, because of an inconvenient truth. Remember all that? And people with minds that are still just slightly scientific, just a little bit of a holdover from public education, tried to explain to folks, well, no, massive snowfalls, massive rainfalls, that is a sign of, do you not understand the dynamics of the atmosphere and meteorological related science? Do you not understand it? Meteorology has nothing to do with meteors. Really doesn't. Has to do with ocean currents and jet streams and what's blowing off the top of the Himalayas and stuff like that. 15 states with triple digits. Tomorrow, we are supposed to, air temperature here in Atlanta is supposed to be over 100. We've been spared the triple digits down here unless you take a look at the heat indexes or indices. But I think that is going to come to an end. Plus the fact that we are in code orange. Ozone alerts here, which means that if you've developed a breathing habit, you know, a propensity to suck in air and try to get your lungs to separate it and blow up the carbon dioxide, you're going to have a problem here. I have been, have had problems for, I don't know, all summer.
On the rooftop. Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour. Email here from Bob Kincaid, the head on Radio Network, regarding code oranges and asthma and trying to breathe. It's starting to get to me. If you listen online, you can hear it during the breaks when I mute the mic and go or something like that. Anyway, Bob Kincaid writes, just a reminder, Mike, the Code Orange is brought to the people of the Southeast courtesy of the Friends of Coal, whose message is, got asthma? That's American asthma, son, blasted from the hills of Appalachia and burned in American job-creating, fill the old coal-fired power plants. Every time you wheeze, just say to yourself, it's okay. I'm contributing my very lungs to American energy independence. Bob, whose windows rattle from the blasting so little children in the South can wheeze patriotically. According to the Economic Policy Institute, a top nonpartisan think tank, they have estimated that the deal struck this weekend to raise the nation's debt limit will end up costing the economy 1.8 million jobs by 2012. When is that, next year? That's 6 months away, dude. The agreement is going to reduce spending by at least $1 trillion. What is it, $1.2 trillion or something over the next 10 years? But even the near-term cuts are expected to shrink already sluggish growth in this country. According to the Economic Policy Institute, the plan, quote, not only erodes funding for public investments and safety net spending, but also misses an important opportunity to address the lack of jobs, end quote. In particular, the immediate spending cuts and what the Policy Institute calls the failure to continue two key supports in the economy, the payroll tax holiday and emergency unemployment benefits for the long-term unemployed. Taken together, those two could lead to roughly 1.8 million fewer jobs in 2012. Think Progress reports that top economists and CEOs have also weighed in against the deal and said the Republican concessions to the teabaggers will cost our economy dearly. One CEO of a very important company warned that the deal will lead to less growth, more unemployment, and more inequality. And it is, we reported the other night, Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize winning economist, called the plan a disaster, a surrender that will depress the economy even further. And the Center for American Progress's Michael Ettlinger and Michael Linden argue that while the deal, quote, goes straight in the wrong direction, end quote, Congress can redeem itself by using the so-called super committee, right? You know, these 12 people mandated by the bill to focus on job creation. You know that's not going to happen. It's my understanding already that the six Republicans appointed this committee, this extra-legal, extra-constitutional committee. Of course, I guess the Congress can do any damn thing it wants to do, right? The six Republicans appointed will be absolute line in the sand, feet in concrete, head up their asses, no new taxes on anybody, ever. And the six Democrats will give in to that. They'll say, oh, you gotta be okay, where do I sign? And it will be that quick. Jesus God, what? I didn't think I would live long enough to see my country destroyed from within. Just absolutely, utterly brought down. Didn't think it would happen. Didn't want it to happen. Oh, well. Okay, I got to... I got an email today from several people just mentioned all the liberal apologists on in media today talking about, no, it's a victory for Obama. God damn, didn't he fool him? Well, I got another one of Obama's victories to share with you. And if you don't think this identifies Barack Obama as an absolute right-winger, what the hell do you need? I mean, do you need a hot poker somewhere in your midsection? What do you need?
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, real dangerous. 25 before the hour. Marty and John are sponsoring this hour. Thanks, folks. Their message to Mike and Kathy, keep up the good fight against the flying monkey, right? Marty and John, they're also podcast subscribers. Bless your hearts, both of you. Thank you. And also a reminder about Farm Aid. Coming up Saturday, August 13th, you can get information and even make a donation if you like, or just cruise around the site, farmaid.org, farmaid.org, an organization put together by Willie Nelson and friends, has raised about $40 million to help family farmers survive as well as thrive. Just as an aside, I wonder when people will finally come to really appreciate Willie Nelson. I'm not just talking about his music. I'm talking about his stand for civil liberties. You know what I'm talking about. The fact that he is who he is, what he does, his sense of social justice. Well, a lot of people already do, but you know what I'm talking about. Regarding climate stuff, I just got this from Jill from Virginia, and she writes, this is about a direct action planned to protest. I bet Bob Kincaid has heard about this, but I wonder how many other people have. I haven't. The Keystone Pipeline Project. It's going to bring oil based on the tar sands from Alberta, Canada, to Texas, USA. Jill writes, I hope you'll share this with your listeners. What's the big deal about tar sands, you may wonder? Well, tar sands are a potential source of energy, a fossil fuel, and as such, they represent a potential source of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. As the organizers of this direct action, I'm going to tell you about in a second, put it, the Keystone Pipeline would be, quote, a 1,500-mile fuse to the biggest carbon bomb on the continent. A way to make it easier and faster to trigger the final overheating of our planet. End quote. And Jill includes some background here. Until about 200 years ago, the atmosphere contained 275 parts per million of CO2. 350 parts per million is what many scientists and climate experts are now saying is the safe upper limit in the atmosphere. The planet right now has about 388 parts per million. This number is rising by about 2 parts per million every year. So obviously, to keep the planet habitable by humans, that's you, we must curtail the human-induced rise in temperature. And to do that, you got to control the human-induced rise in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. NASA climate scientist James Hansen states that the world's tar sands are estimated to contain enough carbon to add about 200 parts per million of CO2 to the atmosphere. So if we, the probably soon to be extinct unless we do something, humans, if we start burning tar sands big time, we'll be moving fast in the wrong direction once again. Oh my God. That's why tar sands are important. The Obama administration is under pressure. That means they'll collapse. From the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to, quote, move quickly to approve the Keystone XL pipeline, end quote. The Obama administration is under pressure from the Chamber of Commerce. That means, in my opinion, that they will collapse. Okay, uncle, I give up. So what to do? A direct action is intended, it's planned and intended to get the administration to consider what's at stake, the planet's ability to sustain human life. That's right up there at the top of the list. That even is more important than raising the debt ceiling. The planet's ability to sustain human life. Say that a few times. Just say it. Say it right before you go to sleep. And then send me an email tomorrow and let me know what your dreams were about. So each day from August 20th through September 3rd, protesters are going to march on the Obama White House, trespassing and risking arrest. And Jill from Virginia says she hopes some truth seekers will be among them. Want more information? TarsandAction.org. If you say it fast, it's like Tarzan Action. Only it's Tars, T-A-R-S, TarsandAction.org. TarsandAction.org. Will you check it out? You've heard of Republican Senator from Utah, Mike Lee. I'm sure you have. Some of the crazy, this just insane stuff this Mormon has tried to introduce in form of, and I identify him by religion, specifically, deliberately, and consciously. This Mormon, Mike Lee of Utah, has stated that congressional laws banning child labor are forbidden by the U.S. Constitution. In other words, he wants child labor laws struck. Get rid of them! So the 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds can go back into the factories, back into the mines, back into the fields. I mean, somebody's got to do the scut work, right? We don't allow Mexicans to do it anymore. He's the one that replaced longtime Republican incumbent Bob Bennett in the Senate. Remember Bob Bennett, just your average run-of-the-mill Republican? He said in a YouTube that he posted, this is old stuff, this is several months, about a year back, he said Congress decided it wanted to prohibit that practice, so it passed a law, no more child labor. The Supreme Court heard a challenge to that law, and the Supreme Court decided a case in 1918. In that case, the Supreme Court acknowledged something very interesting, that as reprehensible as child labor is, and as much as it ought to be abandoned, that's something that has to be done by state legislators, not by members of Congress. The key congressional law that addresses child labor is the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, which placed a series of restrictions against the employment of people under 18. This is back in the bad old days. The Supreme Court unanimously upheld the law in 1941. Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah said, well, I'm not opposed to laws regulating child labor, but you know, that's up to the states. This guy, and if you go to Wikipedia or go any place and check Senator Mike Lee's record, I mean, he's about as teabag crazy as you could. I mean, he, in some instances, he makes Michelle Bachmann look liberal. Why am I mentioning this guy? Because today, President Barack Obama, or yesterday, President Barack Obama appointed Senator Mike Lee's legal counsel to be the next U.S. attorney for Utah. So if Mike Lee is an absolute right-winger, what does that make Mike Lee's legal counsel? And Barack Obama appoints him to be the next U.S. attorney for Utah. And the Salt Lake Tribune reports it as, quote, a move that infuriated Democrats from the state. Oh, by the way, he will need Senate confirmation before he can claim the spot as Utah's top federal prosecutor. Obama said in a statement, quote, I am pleased to nominate David Barlow to serve the people of Utah as United States Attorney. Well, Todd Taylor, the executive director of the Utah Democratic Party, said, quote, we are very disappointed in this decision. What's the deal? Is there something in his background that we don't understand? Or is there some sort of deal that was cut between the Obama administration and our senators? And what are they giving up for this? There are a lot of fine print details on this that don't make any sense. End quote. Todd Taylor, executive director of Utah Democratic Party. He went on to say, we don't see how the people of Utah are served by this guy. And you can still turn on your friendly radio and hear all kinds of people telling you that that great liberal and progressive and Democrat Barack Obama is playing chess while the rest of the political class plays checkers.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
Of what? Kathy, that liner is so inoperative. Thanks to Marty and John, who sponsored this hour. Thank you both very much. The message to Mike and Kathy, keep up the good fight against the flying monkey right. Marty and John, podcast subscribers and tonight's first hour sponsor. In addition to Farm Aid, Willie Nelson started BioWilly, a biodiesel company that tries to mitigate the impact of greenhouse gases on the environment. It's a renewable fuel, biodiesel, which reduces the need to import foreign oil locally produced. It promotes community development. Willie Nelson is happy to announce a new partnership for this product, Biodiesel Pioneer, Pacific Biodiesel, signed a licensing agreement for the brand name and will be marketing BioWilly Biodiesel with the highest industry standards. So the note from Willie Nelson, ask your fuel supplier when BioWilly will be available in your area. It's made in America and stayed in America, it says here. Check it out. Would you do that? Just check it out. That's all I ever ask anybody to do when we, you know, read, offer you a website or a sponsorship that is a commercial or whatever, or websites like whatis-theplan.org, places like that. Just check it out. Just take a look. See what you think. LivingNewDeal.berkeley.edu. You know, places like that. Just check it out. So check out Willie Nelson's biodiesel. BioWilly Biodiesel. Check it out. We have from Prairie 2, I have in front of me here, from deep in the recesses of wherever the hell Prairie 2 writes his stuff. And I'll share it with you after the break because I don't think I have enough time here. But the headline, or the subject line, says Obama 1, Tea Party 0, Dow minus 266. Prairie 2 just won't give up on Obama. I mean, in a certain respect. He's not like Lawrence O'Donnell or some of the people on so-called liberal radio. Not quite that, you know, breathy in his support. But, oh, Prairie 2 here. But anyway, we'll do that when we come back after the break. Let me ask you something. If a married lesbian couple saves 40 teenagers from the Norway massacre inspired by Glenn Beck and no one writes about it, did it really happen? Have you heard about this? It's from the website talkaboutequality.wordpress.com. By this point, most of you have heard about the tragedy in Norway a few weeks ago when a Christian fundamentalist murdered 77 people and injured another 100. Story's been well covered by the media and mainstream press here in the U.S. What you probably have not heard about is the married lesbian couple who rescued 40 teenagers during and after the bloody event. Several blogs and gay and lesbian publications are now picking up the story, but the heavy hitters who usually kill for hero stories like this have remained silent. From the Finnish capital city's largest daily newspaper, Helsingin Sanomat, Hege Dalen and her spouse, Toril Hansen, were near Utoyan, the island, having dinner on the opposite shore across from the ill-fated campsite when they began to hear gunfire and screaming on the island. Dale said, quote, we were eating, then shooting, and then the awful screaming. We saw how the young people ran in panic into the lake. The couple immediately took action and pushed their boat into Lake Trifjorden. The couple drove the boat to the island, picked up from the water, victims in shock, young and wounded, transported them to the opposite shore to the mainland. Between runs, they saw the bullets that hit the right side of the boat. Since there were so many and not all fit at once aboard, they returned to the island four times. They were able to rescue 40 young people from the killer. That's from the newspaper in Helsinki from from the website talkaboutequality.wordpress.com. They say, please share the story and make sure people know the heroism of Hege and Toril. The term Christian fundamentalist has been disputed greatly in both the press and the comments section below this post, they write. According to Norwegian police, however, investigating the massacre, Anders Behring Breivik was a Christian fundamentalist as described by the New York Times and several Norwegian sources. So have you heard about this couple, this female couple, this lesbian couple? 40 people are alive today because of their efforts. I haven't heard about it, not until I got this email. Talkaboutequality.wordpress.com. And I know I'm mispronouncing their names. Hege Dalen and her spouse, Toriel Hansen. Four trips into the murder zone to rescue 40 kids. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Susan and Squim point something out to me. The website that I asked you to go to about tar sands, it is tar sands action.org. I left off an S. Tar sands action. .org. Okay, thanks, Susan. Check it out, please. Tarsandsaction.org. Okay, let's just do what our economic affairs correspondent submitted this evening. Obama 1, Tea Party 0, Dow minus 266. Obama took advantage of the naivete of Tea Party radicals to force the cockroaches out into the kitchen with the lights on. According to polls, even the average Republican voter now favors taxing the rich, and Obama can run as the adult in the room who wanted to do just that. Republicans really didn't want to cut government spending. They never do that when they're in charge. The Republican base always wants cuts until they realize the Tea Party members of Congress want to get their government hands on people's Medicare. The federal budget isn't distributed the way the right-wing talking points describe it. 50% welfare, 50% foreign aid. Any real cuts will affect Republican voters, and since it will be the Republicans will be making the cuts without Obama getting his hands dirty, then they will have to answer for the cuts. Billionaire-funded think tank talking heads are out in force, singing the praises of cutting spending, even while the stock analysts are pointing out that cutting spending means cutting demand, and no demand means no business, and no business means no stock market. If Democrats can't get elected now in any congressional district with indoor plumbing, something is wrong. Yes, there are things wrong. Citizens United, to be specific. The markets gave up all the gains made this year in just the past week. Last month's consumer spending report took the first downturn in the past 2 years despite the slight uptick in family income. The manufacturing index is down to where negative growth is a hair's breadth away. And any cut in demand will tip us over the edge into free fall, and the markets are seeing it exactly that way. Gold is up $40 more, but the U.S. dollar is stronger, and treasuries continue to go up and interest down. You see, the rating agencies are just whoring for the big bankers and hedge funds who will clean up in a crash. The debt crisis was completely phony, but the uncertainty it has created is weighing on the economy. Even though the first trillion in cuts won't take effect for years, the fear is that the death panel jury of 12 will do something really stupid. In reality, the super congressional committee is only a gang of seven, since a majority vote is all that's needed to lay down cuts that can't be debated or amended, but only voted up or down. Our future could be decided by six Republicans and one blue dog Democrat, and their list of cuts must be approved or the axe falls heavily on the Pentagon. Of course, anything they do can be reversed by normal legislation if the president will sign it or Congress overrides his veto. So in reality, Congress is just kicking the can down the road to see who wins in 2012. Obama thinks he's positioned himself well, and if he doesn't get blamed for the crash, he might be right. Did you notice that even with the Tea Party in the forefront of the news, there were no rallies? PrairieNumeral2.com. And Denny, north-northwest of L.A., writes, I'm not so sure we got such a bad deal on this latest assault on sanity by the corporate zombie party. Once again, they have exposed their slimy, conniving, thieving ways, and this time they really overplayed their hand. I believe that all they have done will come back to bite their asses in the next election. Even people I know on the right have just been shaking their clueless heads, wondering what was going on with once again being held hostage by their own party. As the details of the agreement continue to focus, I ask, what specifically have we lost? The Bush tax breaks expire automatically after the election anyway. I think that what the president has done is political judo. At this point, I'm glad that I did not disembowel myself. There's still time to reconsider that later if I'm wrong. The metaphor about this being a marathon, not a sprint, comes to mind. We hired Obama to do a job. He is the president. He is what we have. At this point, what alternative do we have anyway? I continue to support, not to bash him. He's had so little help from his own party and none from the GOP. He inherited a roach-filled nation. Roaches don't die easily. Keep shining the light of truth on him. Watch him run. This could be the impact point from which begins our bounce back from the insanity of the GOP. As much as we may wish to forget what got us to this point, it's important to remember who did this to us, how and why, and hold them accountable. The pendulum may have come to rest. Let's help it to change direction and start its swing back to the people. Denny, north-northwest of L.A., I don't know, Denny and Bruce. I hope, Denny, I hope you're absolutely right. It's not chess, it's not checkers, it's judo or jujitsu, I think is what you meant. I don't know, whatever you meant. You meant judo, Mike. That's why I wrote judo. Okay. I hope you're right. I'd love to believe you're right. I'd love to have to come on the air some night in the not too distant future and say, I am so sorry. I just got it absolutely ass backwards. I feel so embarrassed about bashing Obama. I feel like a traitor. I feel like a lower than snake poop in a wagon rut. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I know I've got a lot of letters tonight, but this is Tuesday night. Tuesday night is when, you know, all this stuff builds up over the weekend. And since we're not on the air Saturday and Sunday, there are things to talk about on Monday, but I'd like to get to these emails. That's just the nature of the program. I've said before that it's a campfire, and this is how y'all do it. Nothing wrong with phone calls to a radio talk program, but I just don't do it that way. So I got one more here after the break from Sam McKee. Sounds like a... What was that poem about? The face on the barroom floor? Is that what it was? The face on the barroom floor? Wasn't there a Sam McKee in that poem? Okay, Michael, look it up for me, please. All right, break here. We'll be back momentarily, and I'll share with you what Sam wrote, and then we gloriously move ahead with the program.
It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The creation, the cremation of Sam McGee. McGee, not Sam McKee. Creation of Sam McGee, Robert Service. Thanks to folks in the Ustream chat room for that. And from Sam McKee. Mike, today Obama, in his usual smooth soliloquy of undeserved condescension, offered Americans the same old lecture on how sacrifice is required from, quote, both sides, end quote. More false equivalencies. We in the middle working class and the impoverished have made our sacrifices for the last 30-plus bloody years. He does not represent me and never has in any of his ballyhooed corporate giveaway he passes off as legislation. I know who needs to make the sacrifice, and it ain't the poor and working people of this country. He repeats over and over that the Americans asked for divided government, as indicated by the results of the midterms in 2010. This is another lie. Voters did not necessarily ask for divided government. Democrats protested by not voting in the midterms because they were disgusted with Obama's poor leadership, bad choices in negotiating Democratic interests away in the name of his holy grail of compromise and outright despicable choices in his cabinet and advisors. Rahm Emanuel, Tim the Brat Geithner, Larry Summers, they all clearly indicated from day one of the Obama administration that the Obama administration was not going to represent the working or the middle class of this nation. Bush warmongers Petraeus and Gates informed me he would not end the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, the true source of much of our debt. His later choices of banksters, William Daley and Jeff Immelt, show even more poor leadership. Daley is from J.P. Morgan, an entity under scrutiny for a variety of reasons, including involving their knowledge of the scheme of Bernie Madoff. Immelt, job czar, CEO of GE, is busy offshoring a 102-year-old American industry So much for the jobs czar creating jobs in the U.S. And according to the Congressional Budget Office, 1.8 million jobs would be lost by 2012 as a result of Obama's compromise debt ceiling bill. Obama, with the help of gutless Democrats, gives the shop away yet again to the filthy Republicans by signing on to the psychopathology of the nutsack teabaggers and taking this country even deeper into a fascist spin. More interested in building his legacy on the backs of the middle class and poor than fighting for them, he turned his back on the idea of a clean bill to raise the debt ceiling. He wanted a big bill with lots of bells and whistles to curry favor with the moronic and equally gutless independents, stealth Republicans who won't own up to the utter destruction of our political system as a result of the bought and paid for illegitimate administration of the Bush-Cheney crime syndicate. Now we can look forward to these miserable failures and liars, Pelosi, Boehner, the mealy-mouthed wimp Harry Reid, and McConnell choose who is going to be on a committee to further destroy the middle class. This unconstitutional body is yet another vehicle by which the corrupt political class may avoid taking responsibility for yet another constitutional duty they swore to respect. Clearly, our corporate whores, no offense to sex workers, tasked with running our government, are compromised and deserve termination as any employee would upon being found to be criminal and negligent. Sam McKee. So there you have a wildly divergent smattering of opinions about Obama's moves, written by people who can actually write. How about that? Prairie 2 has to add a P.S. The conservatives do have a solution to global warming, although they may not be aware of it. But still, it's in their nature. Climatologists have concluded that the reason global warming didn't become apparent until the 60s was World War II. Why? Well, they estimate that cooling caused by the soot put into the air by massive fires set the process back by 10 to 15 years. World War III could do the same for centuries. When coupled with the lack of industrial activity in a post-civilization era, ooh, that's bleak. That's like The Road. That's like exactly like the movie The Road. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. So if you'd like to, plus some other things I want to drop into the mix here, so we may hold off on the phone calls for just a few minutes. The number here is 877-996-2556. Morning cup of tea, I turn my radio on, and in between the static and the headlines, I heard that you were gone. We lost another one. There was a time we thought we were invincible, that we go on and on and on and all along. We thought we'd do another show and write another song, but I guess we've lost another one.
Practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. I want to mention again about Farm Aid 2011. It's coming up Saturday, August 13th, Saturday week. And you can find out all about it at farmaid.org. It's a 25-year-long venture promoted by Willie Nelson and friends, and they're doing it again this year. Trying to keep family farmers on the land for obvious reasons. Farm Aid has raised more than $39 million to help family farmers thrive and survive. So check it out, okay? FarmAid.org. FarmAid.org. From Tom in Joshua Tree, California. Regarding Mike Lee's legal counsel being appointed by Barack Obama to be the U.S. attorney for that state, Mike Lee, who wants to end federal child labor laws, among other things, just a crazy son of a bitch. I mean, totally out of his mind, Mike Lee. So what does Obama do? To the chagrin and disgust of Utah Democrats, get used to it, boys. This is your Democratic president. What does he do? He reaches into Mike Lee's staff and comes up with his legal advisor and gives him the job of U.S. attorney in Utah. My, my, my. Regarding that, Tom writes, Mike, this is a really important vein because the chief reason used by liberals to support Obama in 2012 is so he can be the one to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. How nuts and insane can they be? He'll probably appoint someone more right-wing than Scalia just to show what a nice guy he is. The liberal left is in denial and they seem to be determined for a repeat just out of habitual default. That's their way out since without courage or conviction, they have the luxury of standing for neither. Instead, they are deluded into thinking it will all work out. That, for example, maybe the Mayan gods will do the dirty work as soon as the calendar says so. Not only is there not a dime's worth of difference between a Democrat and a Republican, there isn't a nickel's worth of difference between a Christian fundamentalist and the liberal go-along-to-get-along. There are two sides of the same coin, both renouncing their own creative will and political self-determination for status quo submission. Like a woman recently said to me, I want a revolution! My response was, and how would you like it served to you, on a platter or to go? She was on her way to a spa for a wrinkle treatment, and I was just recovering from a concussion I received from a club-wielding Christian fundamentalist because I was wearing a t-shirt that said, no gods, no masters, to an outdoor farmer's market. I never saw or heard from her again. Now I even doubt I'll ever see America again because no one had any more use for it, I suppose. Tom in Joshua Tree, California. We're going to open the phones. 877-996-2556 is the number if you would like to chat. Just so many things here. I wanted to mention, where is that thing? Oh, David Gregory. David Gregory on Meet the Press, you know, the host of the seminal NBC Sunday program, Meet the Press, David Gregory. This was at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting Fair. Corporate media coverage of budget deficits and debt often turns to blaming Social Security and Medicare for being the real problem. NBC's host David Gregory is especially fond of passing off such misleading claims as facts. Yeah, you know, so many of these people that anchor or report on commercial television, you know this. Come on, you're not stupid. They're just half-wits. They apparently do not do any research. They read what's put in front of them. They read the notes handed them by their associate producer or their production assistant. they're on these programs to show you their faces, to try somehow to get the ratings up so they can continue to make their multi-million dollar salaries, and they do not a goddamn thing, nothing to try to bring crucial and pertinent information to their audiences. Nothing. Gregory put it this way last Sunday to Senator John Thune, Republican. Senator, what's really ludicrous to the American people, even when the American people don't always speak with one voice on this matter, is that Washington is not really dealing with what really drives the debt. That's entitlement spending. It's been going on this way and was a ticking time bomb since the 60s. And Democrats, like you were saying, hey, we can't deal with Social Security and Medicare. Republicans, you know, sign tax pledges that say, I'm not going to raise taxes. Well, we can't deal with revenues. I mean, this is what's ludicrous to the American people. And even here, if we have a deal, we're going to solve a political problem, but not the underlying fiscal problem, which is what creates our debt, Senator. No? End of quote. Like many reporters, David Gregory wants to criticize both parties for being inflexible, but being balanced, quote, should not be confused with being correct. For starters, the American people, quote, have been fairly clear about what they want to happen to entitlement spending. They don't want to cut Social Security and Medicare in order to balance the budget. In a recent CNN poll, 87% of respondents came out against cutting Medicare in order to reduce the deficit. That's a position shared by 90% of Democrats and 85% of both Republicans and Independents. There's absolutely no evidence to support David Gregory's assertion that, quote, entitlement spending, end quote, has been a, quote, ticking time bomb since the 60s and is what really drives the debt, end quote. Social Security and Medicare have their own budgets and are supported by dedicated payroll taxes. Each Social Security and Medicare has amassed massive surpluses over the past 20 years, which they have loaned to the Treasury by buying U.S. government bonds. So in the time frame Gregory's talking about, entitlements have not contributed to the deficit at all, but rather have helped pay for it. Son of a bitch. How can these people invert it and sit there on their Sunday morning chat fest and put this stuff out there? So as FAIR reports, when the government pays back these loans, as it must, unless it borrowed trillions of dollars from working Americans under false pretenses, when it pays back those loans, those payments will contribute to the deficit. The payments will. But it makes no sense to think of the government paying back loans as Social Security contributing to the deficit. The government of China buys huge amounts of treasury bonds, and the U.S. government regularly pays this money back. If China uses some of this money to build highways, does that mean Chinese highways are contributing to the U.S. debt? No! God. Later on in the program, David Gregory returned to the same half-assed point. He said, quote, to get an increase in the debt ceiling, they're still going to leave unresolved some pretty tough questions about, are there going to be Medicare cuts, Social Security cuts? What are you going to do about the big drivers of the debt? And as FAIR points out, that kind of rhetoric is virtually indistinguishable from what you hear from Republican politicians, and Gregory repeats it over and over and over. On March 6th, Gregory referred to the need to, quote, fix budget-busting programs like Social Security and Medicare. On February 20th, Democratic Senator Dick Durbin was on the show and pointed out that, quote, Social Security does not add one penny to the deficit. Gregory appealed to his Republican guest, Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator Graham, is that, I mean, few people believe that there's not an arithmetic problem with Social Security. I mean, it just goes on and on. And morons like me and possibly you wonder why the morons in this country really do think that Social Security and Medicare are the problem, when in fact they've been the closest thing we've had for 80 years to a solution.
Timothy Geithner uses the TurboTax. When I listen to you, things seem to make sense. Listen to him, all I hear is blah, blah, blah.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Brian is in Beverly Hills listening online. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I have a funny question to ask.
Okay.
If the Bush tax cuts were allowed to expire in 2010...
Mm-hmm.
With that revenue, how many jobs could we have created?
I would think a lot.
Thank you. Like more than a million, right?
I'd have to be.
So the million people that were, you know, because of the unemployed people, which, you know, I feel for them, but those million people were the reason, the main reason why those cuts were not allowed to expire.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me if we would have let those tax cuts expire and created enough jobs to make up for the unemployed problem, we would not even be in this situation right now. We would, because I don't think the debt ceiling would have had to have been raised had that extra revenue already been coming in.
Absolutely. And what is very disheartening is the fact that the people who were slaughtered, economically speaking, and some of them literally died because of these Bush tax cuts from 10 years ago, they do not put two and two together and realize that they were the ones being sacrificed.
Yep.
They just, this is a part that drives me insane. Why just basic economics and cash flow through the capitalist system in this country is not explained starting at a young age. Excuse me. I can remember in high school, when I was in high school, we had a course called American Economics that did get into, it was pro-capitalist, but it did get into just the basic elements of capitalism, how the system was supposed to work on paper. Now, it didn't get into the reality of how ultimately the system would work, and I think that's because we had not reached the brick wall. We were still providing jobs in this country. American capitalists were still interested in building up the bank accounts or their capital base in this country, and once they reached a certain point, they're gone. But the people that you're talking about and the people I talk about don't get it. They don't understand that they're being slaughtered so that the top 1% can live like no people in the history of the human race.
Yep. The other thing that's driving me crazy right now is that certain people, I won't mention any names.
Thank you.
People are mentioning that Social Security and Medicare ended up not being cut, and that's a win. But it's not a win. It's a break even, because those things should have never been on the table in the first place.
Well, I don't understand.
Like,
I don't understand.
It's like if I say, you know, I'm going to cut your arms off, and then I end up saying, oh, okay, I'm not going to cut your arms off, so you win. You get to keep your hands. And
right.
It's like, well, I was never supposed to get, they were always mine.
Well, here's the thing, and I think we need to get our minds around this. As far as Medicare is concerned, the plan, they can't cut the Medicare trust fund. What they're talking about is cutting the reimbursement to the providers, the doctors, the nurses, the PAs, the nurse practitioners, cutting the reimbursement. Now, I happen to think that when responsible people start talking about cleaning the filth out of Medicare, and God knows, they're front page New York Times this morning, a couple of guys in the state of New York who have been running nonprofits and using Medicaid money, and these two guys, their salaries are $1 million a year, and their board members, $500,000, $900,000. And granted, the programs they provide seem to be programs that the families of developmentally challenged people appreciate, but $1 million a year to run a nonprofit, and that's just Medicaid. So I think what they're talking about with Medicare, and this is where everybody gets freaked out because most of us don't understand it. They can't cut Medicare. They can't cut Social Security. What are they going to do? The only thing they could do with Social Security is raise the age again at which you become eligible for full benefits. But there is nothing to cut. Like I mentioned earlier tonight, thanks to fairness and accuracy in reporting, Medicare and Social Security are, in effect, self-supporting. They're the result of a tax. I mean, we all pay into it. The problem comes when those massive trust funds buy treasury notes in order to shore up the U.S. Treasury. And then when the notes come due, the U.S. Treasury doesn't have the money to pay it back. So it's not Medicare and Social Security that's all messed up. It's, first of all, the people who run it who say, okay, well, let's buy treasuries. It's the fact that the U.S. government doesn't have the money to pay back, thanks to Republican members of Congress and Democratic members of Congress who over the years have damn near bankrupted us. That's where the problem is. It's not in the real world. It's in this world of finance and borrowing and indebtedness, and it drives me insane, Brian. I just wish more of us understood this.
You know, in closing, I just have to say I listen to you as often as I can.
Well, thanks.
I really appreciate your show, and I'm planning on soon doing one of those sponsorships.
That's great. That's great, Brian. Thank you so much. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. Reg writes, I'm totally confused. What shared sacrifice is anyone talking about? What would the super rich be sacrificing if they had to give up their Bush tax cut? Would they be giving up their housing, their meals, the ability to clothe their children? Would they now be shoeless or forced to go without medical care? Or would they really give up anything at all? We have to fight against the sound bites that do nothing but support the propaganda. Reg. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. Very quickly, from Michael, I'm working at a bankruptcy law firm, have been for 3 years. I've been so busy, it's sick, the good people I see every day, losing everything. From Bruce again, the Bush tax cuts currently equal 1/4 of the deficit. The wars that Bush started, about 1/4. Bush's expansion of government, Homeland Security, etc., and Medicare drug giveaway to Big Pharma, another 1/4. And the last 1/4 from the revenue lost from the Bush Depression, plus extra safety net spending it causes. The Bush tax cuts also empowered Wall Street to dismantle and sell the manufacturing sector by cutting capital gains to 15% and hedge fund manager taxes to 0%. This was the loophole Obama proposed closing. A decriminalization of the practices the Wall Street banks and hedge funds engage in did much more damage than the tax rates themselves. Yeah, and the loophole that Obama proposed closing, how long did it take before he said, oh, never mind, I changed my mind, I was just kidding, no thanks. From Justine in Maryland, reflecting tonight on how Obama has no problem appointing or nominating right-wingers like Judd Gregg to a cabinet position or David Barlow to the federal attorney's job and go on golf junkets with John Boehner, but he doesn't have the balls to appoint Elizabeth Warren to the Commission to Protect Consumers or include Nancy Pelosi in the closed-door budget so-called negotiations while Pelosi was still Speaker of the House. Yep, smells like a Republican to me. Justine. And the last one here from Barbara in Tujunga, California, who writes, Dear Mike, the same day the corrupt bargain was struck, HSBC Bank announced it was laying off 30,000 workers despite posting a profit, and it would be laying off more in the future. This is added to the 11,000 workers from Borders Books who are also out of work. I then looked at the Huffington Post and saw that female co-eds are turning to prostitution to pay their tuition. Yeah, I saw that. And or student loans. And as befitting our post-civilization society, there's even a website called Sugar Daddies to help strike the deal. Then I read that the city of Central Falls, Rhode Island, would be going bankrupt after years of economic woes. Oh, yes, I thought the same city whose teachers were fired, then rehired, with Obama egging on the firings. Whatever it takes, he declared, even though he knew not one of these educators, he whipped up hatred for them and called for their dismissal. Funny, I don't remember him calling for the firings of anyone on Wall Street. It brought back memories of my own childhood, or my own school, Fremont High in Los Angeles, also demonized by Obama, and then reconstituted under No Child Left Behind. I thought I would retire from the school. Instead, my dedicated colleagues and I were demonized and called failures by the then superintendent. Who replaced us? Other displaced teachers from other schools. And Teach for America, whose so-called teachers have only 5 weeks of training, and who were such abysmal failures when they began teaching at Fremont, that all those so-called lazy and incompetent veteran teachers had to give them a crash course in teaching. 30 rehired teachers quit, and my former students were cheated out of a quality education. Teach for America is spreading like the plague since Congress declared that company to be highly qualified, just as I am with 2 years of classes and 6 months of unpaid student teaching. They, with their 5 weeks of training, quote, are now on equal footing with professional teachers. When will this nightmare end? And there were 2 more foreclosures in my neighborhood last week, and the neighbors pretend nothing is wrong. When I bring it up, they change the subject. Barbara. Yeah. Jeremy is in Burlington, Vermont, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. I heard today on Hartman that the government, as part of the debt ceiling deal, has determined that they're no longer going to give Pell Grants to students who work or seniors in college.
I hadn't heard that one. I knew that they are tinkering seriously with Pell Grants. I know when Bush The Bush crime family did a bit of that. Wasn't there just an uproar when Bush tried it? And I don't know whether he succeeded or failed. But now the Obama administration is signing off on the deal too, right? That's what you're saying, right?
They're signing off on a deal to knock them completely off the table for people who work at all. So if you bring in any money and work during your school year, you don't get the Pell Grant. I have lots of friends who are college age. I'm not at the time, but I know lots of them who work 2-3 jobs and get a couple grants and a couple of college funds to get through college. And without those Pell Grants, they will no longer be in school.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the objective of denying Pell Grants to students that have to? Everybody knows that Pell Grant, my son Chris, who just graduated recently from university, got Pell Grants during a couple semesters, and they helped. He also got scholarships, and he got help from me. But all these little pieces put together helps a kid get a college or university education. What do you think the ultimate goal is in denying students these Pell Grants?
I think the ultimate goal is what they've always wanted to do, destroy the middle class, get the rich richer, and make the poor poorer.
That's what it smells like to me, too.
And I'm sickened by it. And my guy that called in last night about Oberman going all over the top about what happened with the debt ceiling, he's right, he did, and I'm proud of him for doing it.
You're proud of him, yeah.
I'm proud of what he said. He used some language I haven't heard him use in a long time, and he seemed legitimately mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I happened to catch some of that on the rebroadcast here in the East, and Oberman, without the strictures put on him by MSNBC, he's able to really say what he wants to say. I know how that feels because I have worked for stations or networks before who would have fired me in a heartbeat for one-tenth of what I said I've said in the past 6 months on this program. So I know what Oberman is feeling, trust me.
Oh, I'm sure. And it was nice to see him go from nicey nice to with Gore to jumping right on that conversation. So that was really nice.
Yeah, I didn't see that part. So
he was real polite with Gore, and then as soon as he got to this, he changed his tone, and you can tell he's unleashed here. He doesn't really have anything to hold him back anymore.
No, and that's the way it should be.
Exactly.
The way it should be. Thanks, Jeremy.
Sure.
All right. Take care. Daryl is in Philadelphia listening on XM. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
It's been a long time since I talked to you.
It has been.
Hey, look, it's been pretty good. But here, Mike, let me get right into it because I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay.
You and I are like-minded on 99.9% of the issues. Only thing, how you call Republicans cockroaches, I choose to call them sewer rats. Reds can hurt you. But other than that, with Obama, I think he's a center-right president, but I don't think he's all that bad. But I would still vote for him, and this is why. I know the Democrats really have nothing for people like you and I, the far left. I definitely am, you know. But these crazed Republican teabaggers freaks are going to destroy this country. Like, it's been a notion that people been saying Obama's playing chess and they're playing checkers. I say the Republicans are playing chess and Obama's playing checkers. Look, they took over.
Hey, wait, Daryl. Hey, Daryl. 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 Yo. Daryl. Daryl. Man, hold on a second. Hold on. I got to do a break. I'm going to put you on hold and come back. I'm just going to put you on hold and come back. I know how Daryl feels. You get to talking, and you just can't hear anything else. I'm the same way.
consent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We're talking with Phil, Daryl in Philly. All right, where were you? I was yelling at you, Daryl, because we had to break. I think you were so into what you were saying. Now, where were you?
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right.
Angry. Okay, well, here's what I'm saying. I realize the Democratic Party has nothing for people like you and I and a lot of your listeners. But here's what I'm saying. As bad as Obama's been, I think he's a weak president. I would still vote for him, and let me tell you why. Because these crazy tea-bagging freaks are really, like, there's been a notion in.
Daryl, you're disappearing, pal. We lost you. There you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Like, it's been a notion that people used to say Obama's playing chess while they're playing checkers. I never bought into that. It's the opposite way. They're playing chess and Obama's playing checkers. You see the way the Republicans, when they came back into power, they took over a lot of the governorships and the state legislators, making it harder for people to vote. They're destroying unions. Now, the only reason I would still vote for Obama is, like, I would put it like this. The sewer rats, a.k.a. Republicans, are like a cancer. Obama would be like, and the Democrats in general, would be like a low-dose chemotherapy to slow them up a little bit, because what scares me, if they get a Republican president, they had a house already, and you see how they can make Obama move with the one with the house.
Right.
The U.S. Supreme Court's a bunch of right-wingers. I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to do a thing the Republican president wants to make appointees to rule over governorships, like how they did in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line of what I'm saying, when we don't vote, and I can't defend Obama, and it's hard to vote for him. I definitely won't send the Democrats any money. But when we don't vote, you get Wisconsin, you get Ohio, and you got Michigan. And I'm telling you, when they consolidate all the Republican takeover all over and make these crazy laws, then it would be a total corporate takeover of this country.
Yeah, but Daryl, when we do vote, if the votes get counted right, and we listen to the rhetoric, then we get Obama. You know, I keep thinking about what this crazy woman from Wasilla, Alaska, said in her real snotty-ass way about a year and a half ago. She said, "How's that hopey-changey thing working for you?" And at the time, I just wanted to do something real hateful in response to that. But you know what? I started thinking about this the other night. I started thinking, how is that hopey changey thing working out for me personally, for Mike Malloy, and for my family and my kids and my grandchildren? You know what I came up with? It hasn't worked worth a damn. It hasn't worked worth a damn.
You know what, Mike? Like I said, I can't disagree with you. I mean, you can't defend Obama. I mean, he's indefensible at this point. But the only thing I'm saying, that the Democrats, when I vote Democrat, I don't vote for Democrats to do any great things. I vote for Democrats to keep Republicans out of power. They should never, ever be in power. The only authority they should have is maybe to pick the prayer if they want to pray to their Jesus or whatever, or pick out what utensils, what kind of Dixie cups to use in a congressional cafeteria. So that's the only reason I'll vote for a Democrat.
I hear you.
Because I mean, I don't see the purpose of it. You know, they're very ineffective, and you see the way that how the House, Boehner and Cantor, basically forced the administration to do everything.
Daryl, let me jump in because we're coming up on a break here. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I have voted Democratic that way many times. It is the lesser of two evils of trying to keep these predatory Republican bastards out of office. But every single time I have done that, what happens is I get betrayed by the Democrat, whether it's, not so much on a state level, but certainly on a federal level. I get betrayed every time. And every time I feel like a chump when it's over, I feel like a fool. And I'm standing there trying to justify, not just to myself, but to other people, say, you're still voting Democratic? And why is that? What is it that this man has done? I said, well, you know, it keeps the Republicans out of office. I just can't do it anymore, Daryl. I just can't do it. Man, I got to move on, too. So listen, thanks, Daryl. Stay in touch. I cannot do it anymore. I understand what the consequences are. I understand that these crazed Republicans govern, like Daryl said, they're like sewer rats. I get that. I understand it. I don't know what to do. So what I do is say I cannot support the lesser of two evils is still evil. I don't care how you look at it. There's got to come a point in this country of 330 million people where we finally say that's enough of a corrupt system. The fact that one side happens to be to the fifth power more corrupt than the other side still leaves us with two corrupt political parties. The framers warned us against political parties. We didn't listen. Here we are. I can't do it. I can no longer stand there and shave every morning and look in the mirror and say, you know, you're a goddamn hypocrite. You are a fool. You are a chump. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just unjust.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And again, I want to mention Farm Aid 2011. The concert is Saturday, August 13th. You can get all the information and insight into Farm Aid at farmaid.org. 25-year-old organization put together by Willie Nelson and friends. And they have worked their asses off to keep family farmers on the land because family farmers are the best resource for good food, good health, and a strong economy. The annual Farm Aid concert has raised awareness and nearly $40 million to help family farmers thrive and survive. And this year you can watch the live Farm Aid 2011 concert Saturday, August 13th at farmaid.org. So check him out, okay? And also I want you to check out Willie Nelson's BioWillie, a biodiesel company that mitigates the impact of greenhouse gases on the environment. It's a renewable fuel, which obviously reduces the need to import foreign oil and is locally produced, so it promotes community development. Recently, Willie Nelson announced a new partnership for BioWillie. Biodiesel pioneer Pacific Biodiesel has signed a licensing agreement to use the brand name and will be marketing BioWillie Biodiesel with the highest industry standards. So ask your fuel supplier when BioWillie will be available in your area. It's made in America and it's stayed in America. BioWillie Biodiesel. Check them out, okay? And check out farmaid.org. By the way, earlier tonight, I was wondering about unemployment during the height of the Depression, and a couple of folks sent in the numbers, 24-25%. And I believe that any number above 15% is considered by current standards to be Depression style, not a good term, but Depression style unemployment. If that's the case, then we are in a depression. This phony-ass number of 9 point this and 9 point that is ridiculous. The real unemployment in this country is approaching 16, if not over, 16%. Oh, and by the way, little bulletin here, since it is tomorrow in the Far East. China started the new day by downgrading the credit rating of the United States from A plus to A. Now, Bruce writes, this wasn't the first downgrade they have issued. In response to QE2, they put it from double A to A plus. It's not clear how much of our debt they own, as they don't tell anybody, but the U.S. Treasury estimates it at around $1.2 trillion. And it's known that China has been selling. So, if they're selling, does that mean they're not going to buy anymore? And if they don't buy anymore, and we don't have a tax system in this country that is fair and equitable, then look over the edge of the vessel. You see the water coming up a little bit higher, a little bit higher. Quick. Let's all organize the deck chairs. Mark is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, tonight Mitch McConnell said they're going to double down on these debt ceiling increases. There's not going to be any more clean bills. So, I mean, that just tells you where they're going. And they want to double down on the tax breaks, where they go for this six-man committee or whatever it is.
12-man death panel.
12-man, six each Republican Democrat.
Right.
One of the things they're going to double down on is they want more tax relief for the richest people in this country.
So, well,
you
sure
can see where we're going. We're
sure.
We're headed for Hooverville. And as you can see, when they came into office, they promised jobs, and all they're doing is destroying jobs and destroying the union. So, Mike, that leaves us, where are we going to go? And I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to take probably a general strike and some real movement in this country. The people are going to get up and rebel.
At some point, Mark, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and I know you have too, at some point, unless all 300 million of Americans are totally brain dead and really don't give a damn anymore, at some point, we're going to, and by not give a damn, what I mean is they don't give a damn if they have a place to live or food to eat or an education for their children or clothing to wear or a job. Once we get to that point, then all is lost. But until we get to that point, maybe eventually, as this horror starts to manifest, maybe people will wake up and realize that we're all Egyptians now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, Mike, it's not going to be too much longer. People are going to be hurting more and more. These Republicans are really laying it on us. There's going to be a lot of hurting people and a lot of suffering. And at some point, I think the way they have no regard for this country or the people, they're going to underestimate the kind of rebellion that they're building here. And I think you and I are going to see it, Mike. I mean, I want to be a part of a movement to overthrow this fascist regime. Because as I see it, you know, if we just wait for politics to change it, it's not going to happen. It's going to take a movement from the young people, the old people, like back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take that kind of movement to change the, you know, where we're going in this country. I don't see any other way. I think, you know, you and I lived through those years. And I think, like Keith Olbermann said, that's what he was talking about at the end of his rant, was the fact that it's going to take people to get back out in the streets like the 60s. And that's the kind of movement we need in this country to change our government. Because if we keep going this route, we're just going to head to Hooverville. And unless we stop it, you know, that's where we're going to end up.
I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, brother. Hang in there.
All right. Appreciate your call. Go to October2011.org. October2011.org. And take a look at what is being planned. I think it's October 6th. I believe, what, Kathy, is it Thursday? But it has no end point. It just starts October 6th. And check it out. If you have any questions, I think they have a FAQ section. So check it out. October2011.org. Yeah, it's at MikeMalloy.com. Kathy has it titled. Yeah, just you'll see it. Go to MikeMalloy.com. Where are we? Ashton is in Cartersville, Georgia. Hello, Ashton.
Hey, Mike. Hey, how you doing, Mike? I'm sorry for interrupting you. How you doing, man?
That's all right. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, man. I know you're from Georgia, too, so, hey, we live in the same state, so yeah. we witness the same things, I guess.
I hear that.
Man, I'd just like to commend you. I'm probably a lot younger than you are. I just love to commend you, and I really appreciate the information that you give out here on a nightly basis, man, to really open up. I'm 30 years old. I've lived in a country where I wasn't originally born in the United States, but I lived in a country where the air smelled bad and people did not have access to a dream at all because it was so dominated by corporations. You know, mm-hmm. I went back a year ago, and I was just amazed at how, you know, the difference between clean air and bad air is how the streets were dirty, and it seems like this is just was the norm.
Mm-hmm.
People just didn't have power to overthrow or just restructure their government. And I'm telling you, I'm saying this because I want people to understand that this is a reality. If we do not, as people, if we leave power in the hands of these oligarchs, fascists, these plutocrats, mm-hmm. this is the end game for the United States.
That's
and
right.
I'm just not saying this because I'm some type of conspiracy theorist. As I said, I've lived in a country where people just did not have power
mm-hmm.
to do anything at all. And it doesn't feel good. You know, where the economy is unpredictable, inflation is uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the bare necessities, like, you know, one thing that I was surprised. I wasn't really surprised because I knew, but it hit me a lot more because I understand how economies work now when I went back. And I mean, the bare necessities, I mean, like flour, milk,
mm-hmm.
Butter. I mean, people don't go and buy all these things like Americans do. I mean, you get the bare necessities and you bake your own, you cook your own, and you make everything from scratch. You know, it's a lot more difficult. I don't think Americans are used to that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not do something about this. We do not do something about this. Just like the energy crisis, just like, you know, the problems in our energy sector, this is gonna infiltrate every single element of our economy. Everything's going to be unpredictable. You know, jobs are going to be, I mean, our friends make something like $100 U.S., $115 U.S. a week, mm-hmm. and all of that goes into buying groceries. I mean, Americans need to understand that this
That's
is...
That's true. That's true. Ashton, I'm out of time, this segment. I hear what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. And the whole Farm Aid crew for underwriting the program this week and next. And in return, they ask you to go to farmaid.org, and I ask you to do the same thing. And on August 13th, Saturday, a week from Saturday, you can watch the live Farm Aid 2011 concert at farmaid.org. So check out the website. If you don't know about Farm Aid, it's 25 years old. Willie Nelson and friends have raised $40 million for the American farmer. Not the corporate thugs. I'm talking about the American farmer. Check it out, okay? Farmaid.org. Carol is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I listen to you every night, Green 960.
Well, thank you.
And absolutely love your show.
Thanks.
Always. I need it. It's news that I need. Your analysis is brilliant. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Yep. I want to encourage everybody to watch Democracy Now! Today, mm-hmm. and also YouTube for clips out of Syria, because they are risking their lives to get this to be the medium that I mean, no journalists are allowed in
mm-hmm.
there.
Right.
You've seen that, of course.
Yeah.
And I know from my experience that that is our future. We need to watch that, because that is what will happen to us. And we need to learn from them. And we need to understand that we've been cut off from them by our corporate criminal media in the United States. So I just wanted to say we need to pay attention to those folks, and they, as again, and I want to say they're risking their lives to tell us what's happening to them.
Yeah, risking and losing their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. They're being slaughtered, thousands of them. The same thing's happening in Egypt now, and we need to pay attention to what's happening in Egypt. We have to get out in the streets. We are not going to have a choice. This is a reality. We need to get out of our denial, accept this, pay attention to it, and get out there. And that's pretty much what I want to say. Van Jones has a reclaiming the American Dream initiative. He's getting together a lot of groups. I think that's what we have to do. I've been to 20 protests in San Francisco so far this year. I think these groups are starting to consolidate now, and whether you believe in what Van Jones is doing or not, that's the direction.
Well, I hear you, Carol, and I appreciate what you had to say. Okay,
can you say some more about it?
I definitely will.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. You know, we are mentioning as often as we can, and we have up at our website the October 2011 movement and planned civil disobedience action, October2011.org. And, you know, as I've said before, there are some speakers that will be there that I now fundamentally disagree with on a couple of issues, but that doesn't make any difference. You will find speakers there schedule for this gig that you may disagree with on some fundamental issues too, but you know, how many slogans do you want? United we stand, divided we fall. Do you want we need to all hang together, or we're going to hang separately, or the price of freedom is eternal vigilance? It just goes on and on. Now, I realize so many of those slogans, they're slogans now, but at one time they were rallying cries for revolution in this country, that those rallying cries have been co-opted to a large extent by the flying monkey right, and God damn them for doing it, because they have no right to claim those symbols of rebellion, because the flying monkey right in this country is not about rebellion. These right-wingers are not about freedom and justice and dignity. And that's what those phrases were about. But it's just at that point isn't it? I mean, doesn't this begin, shouldn't it begin with a peaceful display, a nonviolent, civil disobedient, yes, but nonviolent display of massive resistance to what's going on? I mean, damn, come on, people. I mean, come on. What did, you know, what's the old expression? Wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the napalm. Wake up and smell the tear gas. Something. I mean, we're running out of room. We're running out of time and space here. Come on. You know, just consider it. Just go to the website. Go to October2011.org. Just consider it, okay? The only thing at stake here is everything. I mean, you know, everything. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.